You're here in Edmonton speaking to the Conrad workshop, and you've been doing some experiments with fish and with tailings water. Could you tell me, first of all, what is your experiment? What's it called?
Well, in the experiments, we've exposed fishes in the environment to a variety of different types of waters, and what we want to do is answer the questions, can effects occur? You know, what levels of compound will effects occur at? What are sensitive species? And what are safe levels, really? And I think that's the important consideration, because the industry and management people, when designing the new landscape, have to know what's going to affect organisms and what's not going to affect organisms. That has to be incorporated into reclamation.
How did you set up your experiment? I see from your presentation that you had three bodies of water that you were dealing with.
We've been able to use a number of bodies of water. There have been a lot of experimental systems created going back to the late 1980s with varieties amounts of, for example, oil sands tailing in the bottom of ponds capped with fresh waters, as well as other systems in the area. So there's a wealth of ponds and systems that were meant to mimic some aspects of reclamation scattered around the oil sands companies, and we're able to utilize the water and those pond systems to do our experiments in.
So the ones you were talking about today were Mildred Lake, Bison Lake, and then you had a demonstration pond. What's the difference between them?
Mildred Lake, of course, is just a reservoir that receives Athabasca River water for the Syncrude plants. Bison Pond is an area that is now reclaimed, but had an amount of bituminous or oil sands containing material spread around it probably decades ago. We've been able to monitor the effects of that unprocessed material on the water quality and effects. The demonstration pond is the other scenario, so it's what we call an end pit lake, or a demonstration of an end pit lake, where it has tailings in the bottom and it's capped with surface water, and the idea is to try and develop a natural lake system in there.
What would be the compounds or the pollutants or contaminants of concern?
That's what makes this such challenging research, in that there are quite a variety of material, most of which is just simply native to oil sands itself. So, of course, oil sands come from an ancient sea bottom, so there are salts and salinity and bicarbonate, your basic baking soda type stuff, all of which have an effect on the environment. So there are also the oil-related compounds. So we're interested largely in the naphthenic acids, which certainly by quantity are the largest component of that mixture in terms of organics, but also compounds called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, which are known to be spread throughout all sources of petroleum through the world, and there's quite a few effects of fish known from those compounds as well.
So how did you conduct this experiment? I understand that you took some fish and you put them in the lakes for a certain period of time.
The initial experiments were stocking experiments, where we took fish out of Mildred Lake largely and put them into the experimental ponds for periods of anywhere from 3 months to a year and a half to see how they fared in those ponds. Subsequently, we've repeated some of that, and we're moving as well to a laboratory model where we can start to break apart the different compounds, such as your naphthenic acids and such as your salinity, and test them individually so we can tell which of those compounds is potentially causative of effects that we see.
And which species were you dealing with?
So far, we've done work in the wild with stocking, with yellow perch, white sucker, both native species. Did a little bit of work with fathead minnows, so again, a natural native species to the area. But our lab species is the rainbow trout, which is not native to the area, but we have a lot of tools that we can use in the laboratory to investigate rainbow trout physiology.
So what did you find out?
Certainly one of the effects we saw quite accidentally in yellow perch in particular was at higher levels of oil sands related compounds, there was opportunistic disease. That is, viruses and bacteria, which are normally there all the time and are harmless, appeared to be causing infection in the animals. So we've hypothesized that certainly there may be a reduction in the immune competency of the organisms, which results these opportunistic pathogens to affect the organisms.
So do those things live naturally in the ponds?
Yes, it's just like we are. Fish are the same, and they're covered by layers of bacteria. So in a normal situation, that's perfectly healthy. But in a situation where you have, for example, a wound or you create some immune suppression, those bacteria, which are there all the time, can invade and cause problems.
One of the points that you brought up in your presentation was that you had a concern about alkalinity. What's the concern there? What's happening?
That's specific to lake environments. So, and again, alkalinity is basically caused by baking soda, like you bicarbonate, sodium bicarbonate that you buy in the grocery store. And if you get higher levels of that in aquatic systems, the pH of your system goes up. And again, this comes from the ancient sea bottom that had, probably because it had a lot of shellfish, has high levels of carbonates in it. So, and that's as a result in the tailings and in tailings water. So that can be a concern largely in lake systems, I believe.
So what does that have to do, though, with how we reclaim these end pit lakes and what that also means for, say, fish, if they're going to live there or not?
No, that's right. And essentially, the oil sands has operated as a zero discharge industry where there's no release. So as we near the point where we reclaim systems, we've reclaimed systems, including lakes, including terrestrial systems, which contains bitumen, whether that be tailings or whether that be natural stuff that's dug up. So ultimately, everything ends up in water, and there's going to be a downstream discharge from that. This is probably a controversial point that people are going to wrestle with. So is that there's some release of this material has been shown that is occurring already and will continue to occur. So I think we have to accept that, and we have to move forward to say, well, what's a safe amount to release and what is an unsafe amount to release?
Well, in your presentation, you said that there comes a point where the alkalinity gets too high. Once it gets up to a 10 pH, then fish can't live there. Mm-hmm. So then if you want the fish to live there, that means that you have to release some of the water. Could you describe that a bit more for me, please? Explain it.
Again, alkalinity is an excellent example because your baking soda, your bicarbonate, is essentially entirely harmless until it reaches enough concentration that you have high pH. So these systems are all going to be part of a watershed, and the watershed is going to have flow through of water. So if you can have sufficient flow through of water as to keep the bicarbonate at safe levels so your pH doesn't increase, bicarbonate certainly won't hurt anything downstream, and you'll have safe levels in your reclaimed environment. So it's a very good example because bicarbonate is fairly simple chemically of how we need to understand what's harmful and design the landscape around not harming things.
So what would be the bottom line for you?
Well, I guess the bottom line for me as a scientist is that all this industry-sponsored research become useful and become applied. So we need mechanisms for the research that we do are actually influencing the decision made by not only the companies but by governments as well in terms of the future development of the oil sands and practices in the oil sands. So, I mean, that's the bottom line, and that's why I got into this line of work.
What's the next step for you?
Oh, I think there are many next steps. So certainly in terms of the organic compounds in oil sands, we're only just scratching the surface of what's there and being able to measure it and what effects are there. So we're doing a little bit of work on the river that we're starting. So although levels are very, very low in the river and we don't necessarily expect effects, so we'd still like to start to look at the river in a science sense, as many are doing. So as you know, one can anticipate there will be some level of increased discharge, particularly if the oil sands continue to expand.
Thank you very much, Michael.
You're welcome.